page 857, Luke chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 22 down to 38. This is the story that picks up right after the Christmas story where the shepherds come and see the baby Jesus lying in the manger. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22, let us hear God's word together. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this story, for this incredible encounter that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus had with these two elderly guests in the temple in Jerusalem, Simeon and Anna. And Lord, as we consider this story today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and nourish our souls. For we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, just like it does every year, Christmas has come and Christmas has gone. Over the next few days, our Christmas trees will begin to wilt, and we'll be picking up pine needles that have shed all over our floors. As Pastor Vaughn said, batteries will die, toys will be broken, as was the case with one of my kids' toys last night. It didn't last 24 hours. It's just the way it goes. And then in a few days, our kids will be complaining of boredom. Once again, I don't have anything to do and nothing to play with. The leftover cookies on the counters will dry up, and our refrigerators will be empty once again. Christmas music will fade from the radio stations, and holiday clearance sales will be replaced with new merchandise. Just to let you know, this afternoon, I have plans of heading to the store to buy up all of my Valentine's Day candy. And now that we've celebrated Christmas, responsibility is staring us in the face again. Unless you happen to be a privileged educator, everyone else is going to be waking up again early tomorrow morning, going back to work, and back to responsibility. And as we face the same dreadful cycle every year, you know how it goes. And if you're feeling a little depressed about facing the reality of responsibility after Christmas, you may be encouraged to know that Mary and Joseph went through this same cycle. After the angelic choir returned to heaven and the shepherds went back to keeping watch over their flocks, and all of the excitement of the first Christmas had settled down, Joseph and Mary had some responsibilities to fulfill. They had the responsibility of circumcising their baby boy on the eighth day to comply with Jewish custom. And when the boy was circumcised, he was also given his formal name, Jesus, which means Savior. And after the 33-day period of purification ended, Mary and Joseph fulfilled their responsibility by taking the baby Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem and to formally dedicate him, where they would also pay the sacrifice that was to accompany him. Now, most people would pay the price of a lamb and a pigeon. But if you happened to be poor and couldn't afford a lamb, you would offer two turtle doves or two pigeons instead. And so we learn a little bit about Mary and Joseph's socioeconomic position by seeing here that they offer the poor person's offering and not the wealthy. They came from very humble circumstances, a very modest background. And this scene gives us a glimpse into Joseph and Mary's character. Despite their difficult financial situation, they fulfilled their responsibilities to God and to His law. They didn't whine or complain about their circumstances. They didn't make any excuses. They just did what they were supposed to do. And this simple scene should inspire us to reckon with our own responsibilities, whether it's going to work or providing for our families, paying our bills and taxes, offering our tithes to God, and living a holy life. We fulfill our commitments that we've made to God. Mary and Joseph model for us a life of responsibility without complaining about their situation or circumstances. So even as we consider the beginning of the story, I ask you, are you the type of person who complains about your circumstances? Or do we follow in Joseph and Mary's footsteps by simply doing what we're supposed to do? But even as we return to a life of responsibility after Christmas, it doesn't mean that Christmas is over, at least not yet. Like the host of herald angels, there is still so much for us to sing about. And like the shepherds, there's still so much about the birth of Christ to behold. And like Mary, there's still so much to ponder and treasure in our hearts. And like old Simeon and Anna, there is so much for us to continue to look forward to. We can look forward to the culmination of Christmas. As Joseph and Mary entered the temple courts to dedicate their child Jesus to the Lord, God's providence guided them to two peculiar people, an old man named Simeon and an old woman named Anna. Now, we don't know much about either one of them, apart from this very short passage in the Gospel of Luke. They're not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. Simeon was a devout man, and he heard specifically from God that he would see God's Messiah with his own eyes before he died. That was quite some promise that God had offered him. And the certain hope of God's work among them carried them through their entire lives. For there hadn't been a prophet at this time in Israel for 400 years. The period between the ending of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, we call that the silent years. 400 of them. And so the fact that God had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah was really quite difficult to believe. But we see that Simeon put his faith and his hope in God's promise, and he lived that out each day of his life. Simeon knew that God would deliver his people, and he did not worry about how it would happen, and he didn't try to orchestrate the whole scheme on his own. For some people at that time, remember that the Jews and Jerusalem and Judea and that whole area was occupied by the Roman Empire. And that created difficulties for them to live. Talk about living in difficult circumstances. They knew it very well. It was their experience every single day. And yet they continued to persevere and live on. By all accounts, Simeon was a quiet man, devoted to prayer and expectant waiting, a man who rested in God's sovereign control and lived a righteous and devout life. God rewarded Simeon's faithfulness with his presence. The text tells us that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Bible doesn't tell us that about very many people, but Simeon happened to be one of them. And this is the kind of man, when I read this passage, that I want to be. A little more quiet than I am, that's hard. A little more devout, a little more given to prayer, a little more given to patience and expected waiting, and a little bit more focus on God's sovereignty rather than what I can control in my own life. We can learn a lot from watching the life of Simeon. Also, Anna, this old woman, trusted God with her entire life. The text tells us that she got married and for 7 years was with her husband, and then he died. She probably got married at quite a young age, which was typical of women at the time. And now she's 84 years old and had been a widow for many, many decades. And it's interesting how she chose to spend the rest of her life. She was still plenty young enough that she could have remarried, could have had children, could have lived life on her own. But she chose not to do this. She chose to dedicate herself to God in a very special way by going into the temple every single day, worshiping, praying, and fasting, and waiting for God to accomplish His work. Anna trusted the Lord with her entire life. She really lived a life of a nun or someone who would stay in a monastery or a convent long before that ever even took place. Now, I thought as we think about Anna's life, I just want to let you all know that if Jennifer would happen to die an untimely death, I have absolutely no plans of going into a monastery or moving into my office in the church basement over at the Franklin United Church. That's not what I'm going to be doing. But how amazing would it be if we had this type of confidence in who God is, to so love and trust and hope in God that we would literally give everything that we have to follow Him. How many promises has God made about taking care of His people? If they would simply put Him in His rightful place on the throne of their lives. As we consider this story of Simeon and Anna meeting Jesus and Joseph and Mary in the temple, I'd like you to look at our Advent wreath one more time. After next Sunday, it will be packed away until next year once again. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been on this Advent journey, focusing our hearts on the hope, the peace, the joy, the love, and finally on Christmas Eve, we lit that candle in the center, the white one, the Christ candle, focusing on the Christ of Christmas. Really, this is the culmination of Christmas, where we come together after Christmas Eve and Christmas Day have been celebrated to reflect on all that has taken place. Just like this passage in the Bible, this event took place not long after the first Christmas. It's still attached to it. What I'd like to do is just take a few minutes and highlight those four themes, hope, peace, joy, and love, that we find right here in this story, really bringing Christmas to its ultimate culmination. So let's consider first the hope of Christmas. Simeon and Anna maintained hope in God's promise for many years. Can you imagine that, being very old at this point? We know Anna's 84, Simeon perhaps even older, maybe into his 90s, and living his whole life waiting for God to keep this promise. Anybody here like to wait for things? I know I don't. Not really. If I can have it now, I just prefer to have it and move along, right? But to wait for God's promise year after year, decade after decade. I mean, to be promised that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. This was amazing. But he had to wait. He didn't know when it was going to happen. And I can only imagine if I put myself in Simeon's shoes, if it had been me and I was getting that old and that close to death, I think I would have been wondering if God was actually going to keep and fulfill his promise. But there's no indication in Simeon's character that he actually did that. That he kept waiting and he kept hoping. He never lost hope, even though he didn't see the fulfillment of God's promise. And despite their age, Simeon and Anna both stayed productive in their faith. Now, I've met a number of people over the years who've gotten old. Really old. I mean, I'm talking like 72. I mean, it's old, right? It's interesting to see how different people embrace aging. Some people kick and scream and whine and complain about not being able to do the things that they used to do. Do you know anybody like that? And then I know other people who go through their 70s and their 80s and even into their 90s, and they're still doing things, still being productive with their lives. Now, maybe not physically in the same way that they used to, and maybe the memory isn't quite as clear as it once was, but they're still living life to the fullest, still embracing their faith, putting their hope in Jesus, and looking for ways to serve him. And so, if there happens to be anybody in those latter years of life listening to this message today, look at Simeon and Anna, still so productive and following their Messiah, even at this late stage of their life. What hope they maintained in doing this. They recognized that Jesus was the one who would give true hope to the world. When we imagine Simeon coming up to this young couple, Joseph and Mary, with this newborn baby, and taking that child into his arms and speaking the prophecy over him. Lord, let your servant now depart in peace, for this child will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. He knew that this was God's promised Messiah, the one that would indeed bring hope, although he knew that he would never live to see that day. Now we, on the other side of history, know exactly how Jesus fulfilled that promise. It was this very Jesus, born and dedicated in the temple on that very day, who would later grow up and die on the cross and rise on the third day to offer each of us hope beyond the grave, hope for forgiveness of sins, hope of eternal life once and forevermore. And so, even though Christmas has already been celebrated, don't miss the continual focus on hope as Christmas is culminated. Secondly, let's look at the peace of Christmas. When Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms, he prayed, "Sovereign Lord, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Isn't that interesting that now that Simeon had seen the Christ child, he even echoed in his words that he was ready to die. If you've ever walked through a cemetery like our East Franklin Cemetery out here, you don't see it quite so often as you used to, but the three little letters on a gravestone, R.I.P., rest in peace, right? And even now, we will use that terminology. You know, when someone we love passes away, we hope that they will rest in peace. And usually what we mean by that is that their work here on earth has come to an end. They've accomplished the task to which God has given them. And now their bodies, who most likely have struggled and suffered in some way, have now stopped suffering. And they've come to rest. And so we say, rest in peace. We catch a glimpse of the peace of Christmas here in Simeon's words. Now dismiss your servant in peace. And what this really shows us is that none of us is truly ready to die until we have embraced the Christ of Christmas. Because when we have truly embraced Christ and received Him as our Lord and Savior, then we can die, because now we have the hope and peace of Christmas. Everlasting life, forgiveness for our sins, nothing to worry about. Hope and peace. We also see the joy of Christmas in this passage. Simeon and Anna were overjoyed to meet Mary and Joseph and the baby. These two who had been in the temple courts day after day, year after year, and there it was. What incredible joy when they recognized that this was the one that God had promised. And Mary and Joseph, it says, was filled with joy as they marveled at Simeon and Anna's words. Can you imagine to have a newborn child, and you don't know anything about the child's future, but to have two elderly people come at their dedication and speak such prophecies over their lives, that this child would indeed change the world. And their hearts were filled with joy as they marveled at what they heard. And we still have joy in Christmas, and even after Christmas, because we know that because Christ came at Christmas, it gives us the hope of joy for a better future. And then finally, let's focus on the love of Christmas. God expressed His love to the world by giving His one and only Son, who left heaven and was born in a cattle stall in Bethlehem. And as Simeon says here, a light for the Gentiles and the glory of His people Israel. That God shows His love not only for His own people, the Israelites, the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. That's people like us, non-Jews. That God would love you and me so much that He would give His one and only Son to leave heaven and come to earth and live a mortal life. What incredible love. And Simeon expressed his love for God by living a righteous life, a devout life, waiting patiently for God to keep His promise. How do you express love to people? There's lots of different ways we can do it. We can certainly express love through our words. I love you. I care about you. What can I do for you? How can I help you? All expressions of love with our words. And certainly we see Simeon and Anna blessing Mary and Joseph and Jesus with their words. But you've heard the old phrase, right? Actions speak louder than words. Maybe you've had someone in your life who was quick to say, I love you, but then they didn't really back it up with their actions. Maybe some of us have had the opposite experience, where someone wasn't really verbal or outwardly affectionate with their love, but they showed it in their actions every single day. Really, both are important. And we see that love expressed right here. Simeon and Anna show their love for God by going to the temple night and day, worshiping, fasting, praying. They express their love for the Holy Family through words and deeds that they offered them in that moment. So how can we express our love for God? Same way. Worshiping, praying, fasting, giving, offering ourselves in service to God and to others. And Mary and Joseph expressed their love for God by obeying His law, paying the redemption price, and dedicating their baby at the temple. They loved their heavenly Father and their earthly Son by fulfilling all of their responsibilities. One of the best ways that we can show love for God and for others is simply by doing what we're expected to do. To live the kind of life that God's called us to live. To be the people that He wants us to be. To continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as He has expressed His love by giving His Son to us, we give our lives back to Him and dedicate them to His service. And finally, we come to the Christ of Christmas, where Simeon says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." Even now, as he held the baby Jesus, only a month old, he was already speaking a prophecy of his coming death on the cross, some 30 years later. the Christ of Christmas. And Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And that's exactly why Jesus came, to bring redemption. Not necessarily in a physical way that he was going to liberate them from the Romans, but he came to liberate all of us from our sins. Hear this little poem that was written about this encounter with Jesus and Simeon and Anna in the temple courts. The author is anonymous, but just listen to the words. The excited couple came to the temple in Jerusalem that day. No lamb for the slaughter like the rich brought near, but turtle doves like the poor to give thanks for the birth and brought with contrite hearts and holy fear. There at the door was Simeon so old, promised to see the Savior, so the story was told. They stopped and Simeon shuffled closer still, so fragile, so frail, so slow, so faith-filled. He muttered, God, you have kept your promise to me after all these years that I should see the promised one as a babe brought here today. And after years of waiting and many a tear, now I surrender my life to thee, I say. And Anna, too, spoke of the time to come, a faithful woman so devout and wise. Both witnessed knew the baby's journey, his life and future death, and that he would one day in power and glory arise. And now, 2,000 years on, what meaning do these words have for us? But that the babe has grown, lived, and ascended. And Simeon and Anna's words of old still heard in the street, words of comfort, words so sweet, that this babe now grown is reigning over all on high, and with heart so good and steps so fleet, he will unexpectedly one day return for his own. Yes, Christmas has come and gone like it does every year, but don't move forward too quickly. Make sure that you make plenty of time to continue contemplating the culmination of Christmas and everything that it means for our lives here today. And as we continue to celebrate Jesus' first coming, may we wait patiently for the final redemption at Jesus' second coming. Until that glorious day, let us remain faithful to God's calling in our lives like Simeon and Anna of old. And may the hope, peace, joy, love, and Christ of Christmas be with us all the way to the end. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Christ of Christmas, who brings us hope and peace and joy and love. And Lord, I pray that each of these four virtues would continue to live and reign in our hearts and our lives as we move through this first week after Christmas, as we move into a new year, 2021. And that you would bless us and use each one of us for your glory. For we pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.